Okay, Rabbi says, Simikuf your test, Sif Yud Aleph. Okay, we're in the middle of something of a heavy Sif, the rules of Nemanis, heavy Simin rather. Now, the rules of when a person is Neman and when a person is not Neman. And we had sort of the basic rules in the first Sifin, so now we go on to some sort of additional rules. Sifyat Aleph, we have the case of a mummer shebi'ir achas mamim ba'avaydes kechavim mipnei avaydei kechavim. When he's in one place, he behaves like an avid avaydes zara in front of Gaim. U'bi'ir acheres nichnes be'beis Yisrael v'emesh Yehudi. Now, which is his real? He's got a split personality. When he's among the Gaim, he acts like an avid avaydes zara. And when he's among the Jews, what? When a Rome does the Romans do, okay? What? It's funny. The Lashon Mamin, I think it means he behaves like his Mamin. You'll see that in the Shach in a second. So listen to what it says. It doesn't say if he's Neman. The whole Simon is talking if he has a Nemanis. And here, it doesn't say a word about Nemanis. It just says, you have a fellow like this who's, when he's in Brooklyn and he's among his friends, he's a frum yid. And when he goes out to work, he acts like an Eved Avodah Zara. So, look at the Shach says in Shach Chof Dalet. Hatam. We seem to be saying in the Shulchan Aruch that we now on that he really doesn't believe in Avodah Zara, right? He doesn't make Yayin Nesach. Shachov Dalit, Hatamu Furish Shom. The Tam, it says Shom. Shom, he's referring back to Hilchah Shechita. Ki Avik Chachavim Milsa de Mistabishu Sheker. Avodah Zara, it's a bunch of baloney. Kshemishu Mamim Bahu Oysa Lahanoas Yetzer Hara. Veinim Aminei Belibai. He doesn't really believe it. Yisrael, I'm a believe Shalem. Probably, look, he, half the time he says he believes in Avodah Zara. Half the time he says he believes in the Rabbi Shalem. So probably, he believes in the truth. So he's saying is that we neman that the firm side of him is the real side, and the other side is the fake side. So it's a little hard to understand that this is real and that's real. Maybe he's acting in the front of a Goyim because it's beneficial to him to act like a guy by Goyim. Or maybe he's acting in front of Yidden like a Yid because it's beneficial for him to act like a Yid. They're very difficult to understand. But that's what the Shach said. The Shach says, look, Avodah Zara is baloney. So why should I say he believes in baloney when I could say he believes in the Emes? He's not a guy. He's definitely a Yid. He's not a guy. He's just somebody who behaves like a mummer out. Admasai. It's tak interesting. Admasai Pesach Shtei Asifin. It's worse. So which one was true? I don't know. Very, very hard.
It doesn't mean that he passed down to a Geshke or something.
What does it mean?
That is the real Avodah Zara, even if it doesn't mean it passed down to a Geshke,
I well, you mean if he bows not Lainis? Yes, so it doesn't mean he bows. It means he professes to be like a guy. He professes to be like a guy. You're right. Definitely. What? No, I'm just saying what he's saying is that he was his lashon of the Shach. Hatam forish ki kshayim ishu mamim ba hu oisal nasi etzahar mina b'leim kshayim alon shi Yisrael simu heve taiv ava mitzvah adava pashit. The first one's finished the Shach. Adava pashit l'chol yisurim einay neman. Nemanis he doesn't have, because we see for mamanis he goes out to be popular, or for a moment he lies. Avelini amanis bisurim kibishal kavano ayvir avetz kechavim letavasai pshita deinei nevin. The lashon is ayvir avetz kavim letavasai. So I don't know if he's mamisha mumalav aydazara. We already had earlier that he's not neman. So he just means that his yayin nesach is not a nayin nesach. So I'll tell you what the Pritaya says. I couldn't find anybody who should explain this, except the Shach, who says, well, he probably doesn't believe in Avodah Zarah, which is Sheker. You know, but the Avodah Zarah are going to say, well, he probably does believe in Avodah Zarah, because they hold that's true. It's like a strange thing. The Shach says, the Pritaya says, because we go Basach HaZachid HaMeikara. We're talking about someone who started off a from Yid. And there's a Chazakah Demeikara which says that even if we know something changed, we say it changed as late as possible. Here we don't know it changed. It's a suffix if it changed. The Chazakah Demeikara is, it's not a Svara, it's a Gzeir Sakas. We learn it after Saras. That anytime there's a Chazakah Demeikara, we assume it's changed the same. The most common case of Chazakah Demeikara is when someone dies. And you don't know for sure if he died before sunset or after sunset. You know, Gabi Yartzeit. You don't know which day to observe as a Yartzeit, the earlier day or the later day. So we go Basa Chazaka de Meikara, which means since he started off alive, we assume he stayed alive until we know that he's not alive, which is we make the Yartzeit the later day. It's a similar halacha by Nida. If a woman is Pirsa Nida, you don't know before Shkia or after Shkia, it's got to be Vestas. So also, it says in Kumpei Dalet that you stick it to the later day. And one of the reasons given there is because of Chazaka de Meikara. Chazaka de Meikara means that we assume things stayed the same until we know that it changed, until we're certain that it changed. So the Pritayer explains this sif is talking about someone who is Becheskas Yisrael, a Mamin. And then he went out to business, and when we find out that in the business world he acts like a Einai Mamin, so we have a right to assume that he's a Mamin. And the Nafkamina is a very small Nafkamina that Ein Yeina Yayinesech, he counts to Minyan. If you hold the Freya, it doesn't count to Minyan. Such a person would count to Minyan. Nafkamina is like that. But Lagabi Neman is he's not Neman, because we see that he lies for financial benefit. So for that he's not Nehemiah.
If you don't know what he did last year.
So Nafkamina, Pritaya himself says, is if you don't, if you have somebody who's Megayer, so he has no Chazaka de Meikara, and after he's Megayer, he behaves like a frum Yid among the Yidden, and he behaves like a Goy among the Goyim, so he doesn't have a Chazaka de Meikara. So there, the Pritaya says that the sip won't apply. The assumption that if in some places he acts like a guy and in some places he acts like a yid, that he really means to be that he's not really an Eved Avodah Zarah, that assumption is only based on somebody who has a Chazaka de Meikara. No, but that's a problem. That's what Michal was saying. The problem with the language of the Shach that is mamish oivir avodah zarah. So we said that's the same as a mumah for Shabbos, and oivir avodah zarah mumah Shabbos a mumah l'chalat arakula. So I'm not sure what to do with that. Mamish, he bows down to avodah zarah. It's difficult. It's difficult to understand. Yes, yeah, so a mumer meaning someone who doesn't keep mitzvahs. It's a mina mumah l'avodah zarah. Maybe. Well, maybe that's good for the shaila. A mummer who's a mummer be a rachas, not be a sheni. Does he have a din mummer? That seems to be. So the Moranos is Sifud Beis. Okay, it's really connected. What?
How many times do you have the Ayyub and the Zar? It's in the mummer. Then the shakla is Ayyub and the Zar. Then what?
He does it once. Then he does it once. There's a Mishnah Chulin. Hashech b'Shabbos afal pi shemischay b'nafshei shchitasik sheira. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. So there, Tosis says, "I is a mummer. A mummer is not shchitasik is possible." So he says, "A mummer. One of his terutzim is that a mummer doesn't become a mummer until he does it at least twice. And the first time, he's not a mummer. So from one time, he's not a mummer. But here it sounds like that's the way he's behaving. In the Irachas, he behaves like a guy. In the Irachas, he behaves like a yid. So that's the problem. If mummer avodah zarah is that he professes to be, then it's fine. If it means he literally bows in avodah zarah, it's very hard to understand. A mummer avodah zarah is a mummer chatar kula. It's yarag vayaver. Yeah, so we have to talk about counting for minyan. You know, Rav Moshe holds it, you can count any Jew for a minyan. But even if I desire, right? Now, Rav Moshe's makar is taka. Rav Moshe has a very strong argument. The shaila whether a fraya yid counts to minyan. Rav Moshe had, there are chalufei tshuvas on this that go back a while. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and Kedarka, he goes back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that how do you know 10 people is a minyan? The Gemara is talking about Kiddush Hashem Barabim for Hesya. So it has to be before 10. What? So we learn that Eida. We learn that actually from two places. It's a double Hekish from the Ego and then from the Meraglim. So now from the Eida Meraglim, that 10 people is a minyan. So how do you know that you need 10 people to make a chasna, you need 10 people or minyan. What you learn out from Eida, was it from the Meraglim? So the Gemara says the following lashon. The Gemara says maybe a guy counts too. Gemara says maybe a guy counts also. Gemara says no. Eida, it has to be Dumya the Meraglim that were all yidden. So Rav Moshe says I haven't been a guy counts. Gemara says, Dumya de Meraglim. Meraglim were Rishayim. You know, whatever you're going to say, all the Darshanim, they weren't so bad, but Lamaisa, the Pasuk says, they were bad. Okay. We are from the Meraglim and the Eagle. It's a double Hekish. So he says, it's taka strange. Well, you have to learn Minyan. And the Torah has no better place to teach us than from the Eagle and the Meraglim. So he says that the advice dice is telling us if he's less than a guy, if he's a Frayid, that he's Mistarif to Minyan. And so that's Rav Moshe Sheet. According to that, it's mitzvah. I think Rav Moshe himself says, this comes up sometimes in workplace, where they have, let's say, normally 10 from a yidden. But occasionally someone's out, and they call in a fraya yid. And they want to use him for minyan. So Rav Moshe has a shita that he counts, but if I recall correctly, he says, but don't do chazar sashats. To have 19 extra brachas, shayla brachal avatala, why? You might as well just do a hechashmein esrei, which you do anyway in many of the workplaces. But Ramesh says, do a hechashmein esrei, don't get into shaylis of so many brachas levatala by Kaddish and Kedusha for these things. What? Yeah, that's what he's saying. The Meraglim Pashtus, the Meraglim Daivde Hegel, or Kaifrim. Okay, anyway, getting back. So Sif Yud Aleph is talking about someone who's a mummer in one place. And then in a moment in another place, and it's really a little hard to understand why we assume what's right is right, unless you go with the mahalach of the pre-tayar that you go basach hazaka de meikara. So then it's a little easier. What? Chazaka meikara is both l'kula and l'chumra. It's true. Chazaka de meikara is alach b'suka. It's by tzaras. It's Allah in tzaras. But how do you know what's going on in his heart? But how do you, he says mi'ava, no? The Gra Chafei says mi'ava. But it's all misleading. Mi'ava sounds like Abbas of Eidazara. If you look... You have Meir in yours. We have Me'ava, but it means Me'ava Sa'akum. Yeah, okay. I guess it's a bigger Chiddush that even in such a case, I guess, it's the Ravusa maybe. Yes, Mechal Shabbos Vehesim. Mechal Shabbos Vehesim means in front of Yidden. Mechal Vehesim in front of Goyim doesn't make him Mechal Shabbos Vehesim.
It's also in front of Yidden, that you would never know.
Okay, It's lavdavka for Hesi in front of you. I don't know.
He
says it gives some yira those, because it's very difficult. The lashon of the Gron Chafei is nikur shuaisa mi'ava upater. Yira makes sense. The ava, the way they take Shabbos, the lashon of the Gemara ma'avas hagayim. There's a borrowed lashon. The Gemara is a lashon me'avas hagayim. So that's how they teach that the Gron meant. If it's miyira, it's maybe a little better. Okay. If it's Yira, then it could be Atzanis. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean. If he's ever have a Dezara, it depends what Yira means. If they're going to kill him, then you're right. We had that in Siftes. But, right, we had Siftes. If somebody, they say, like, I'll kill you if you're not Ever have a Dezara, and he's Ever have a Dezara, he's not a Mumbal Avay Dezara. He's a Mumbal Akidah Shem Shemaim for that, but he's not a Mumbal Avay Dezara. Right? Anyway. Let's see Yud Beis. Yud Beis talks about the Muranos. Hanusim shenishu baratzaisam, those who remained. He's clearly referring to Spain and Portugal, where they were expelled unless they convert. And they were anusim shenishu baratzaisam. So, what is their status? Imheimis nagin bekashrus beinam lebein atzman. If in private they keep mitzvahs. Now, here you know which is the real one and which is fake. Because if you can somehow find out that in private they keep mitzvahs, obviously that's what they believe. Now the next line is hard. V'ein biyadam lihimaleit l'makom shiuchel labed es Hashem, and it's not in their power to escape, to run away. Saimchin al shchitasan v'ein oisrin yayim b'magon. Then we can rely on the shchita. They don't ask the wine. Certainly in the Sarif Taminyan, according to Shach Vayter, they won't. They won't be Neman, because for Mamanis they're Iver, but I have to explain the Mamanis in a minute. But that's what the Mechaber says. Now you have to know that among the Gedolim, the Spanish Gedolim that in the post-expulsion generations, there was a tremendous split as to how to deal with the Muranos, with those who stayed behind. There are those who held that they have a din of a mumrim, even whatever they do in private. And if they want to come back, they need the tefillah like a ger, and they rejected them very, very badly. On the other hand, there were those who saw them as anusim. Now we have later in Hilchos Yayin Nesef, the Mechaber talks about it, and there seems to be something of a little bit of a difference between what it says there and what it says here. Let me read to you first what it says there. Hanusim. This is, I'm reading from Kuchav Dal Tziftes. Hanusim, again, means the people who stayed in Spain. Afilo ha-tayvim shembehem, even the best, ein yechaylum lizar m'maga oivik ha-chavim. They're among the goyim. They can't be nizar from Yaya Nesach. The goyim are going to give them wine. What are they going to do? So they're not believed on their own wine, but they are neman on other people's wine. What it says here in Sif Yudbeis doesn't say they're neman. It says ein oisrin yayim b'magon. We're not chayshish when they touch wine that they're mishach shechit lavay dezara, because they don't really believe in it. So that's fine. Ramah, Ein Oisrim Yayim B'magon, which is what we have. I'm reading from Kuchav Dalet. Now here, he says the following. V'davka Oisam Shadorim Adayim Bein Ha'akum V'Oisam Averis B'Ferhesim Mnei Oynis Rak B'Tzina Nisharim. Okay, that's what we're talking about. But he says, V'Efsho Lehem Levroyach Al Nafsham. They're able to run away. And they stay behind because of financial considerations. What? That's what happened, at least in the original, in 14... Yeah, well, there were two. And among the Muranos, there were two groups. There were those who had already forcibly converted. And them, the Inquisition was about them. The torture of the Inquisition was not the Jews. It was the Jews who converted and didn't really mean it, and now they were Catholics and they weren't behaving as Catholics. So those they didn't let run away. So there were those they didn't let run away on pain of death. And then there were the Jews, the 600,000 Jews of Spain, who were given the choice of leaving or converting. The Barbanel estimates that about 50% left. There were 300,000 left, and about 300,000 stayed behind. Now, what the Ramah there is saying, that I read to you, is if they can run away and they stay behind for financial reasons, that's also considered anusim. Here, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Ein biyadam leimaleh. It just says that they can't run away. It doesn't say that if for financial reasons alone, a person doesn't run away. So it's a little, I can't say it's a machlaikis, the Mechaber and the Ramah, but the Mechaber's Lashon sounds like they can't run away, period. If they could run away, then they're mechayev too. The Beis Yosef is the second generation. Beis Yosef was a baby when they ran away from Spain. And as you know, they were expelled from Spain in 1492, I think from Portugal a few years later. And Beis Yosef himself ended up first in Egypt and then in Tzfas, as is well known. He ended up coming to Tzfas. He didn't write the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote the Beis Yosef till Tzfas. He didn't finish the Beis Yosef until Tzfas and then wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So historically, this is probably 50 or 60 years after that. The tshuvas that I quoted, a lot of them are from the Radvaz, the Radvaz was an adult when he ran away. The Radvaz lived very long. He was the Rav of Cairo. And a lot of the tshuvas are written by him. He was more conciliatory towards them. In the Shach, in Chayshe Mishpat, it talks about whether Maranos are trusted in Bezdin. A guy is not trusted, is not as possible as this. And the Yid is Kashala Edis. And he brings a tshuva from the Mari Susan, Mari Shushan, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, who was one of those who was strict against the Marano. He writes that a Marano has a din of a guy, that if he was Chayza B'tshuva, totally Chayza B'tshuva, and he's a regular from Yid, he did whatever he had to do, he says Edis about something he saw before he was Chayza B'tshuva. So the halachi is that a guy who's Megayer and says, hey, now he's a from Yid. He's saying, I saw this when I was a guy. So you need Chilasa to say for the Kashrus. He's not Neman on what he saw as guy, even though now he's a from Yid, and he says he remembers. Edis needs Chilasa to say for the Kashrus. So the Marie Shushan says the same thing about the Maranos. Loini boy, a Marano is not Neman in Chayshim Mishpat, but even if he's Chayza B'tshuva, he's not Neman on what he saw when he was still behaving as an Oyved Avodah Zara. That's what he brings. The Shach himself disagrees. The Shach says that he is Neman on what he saw before, because there's no reason to say he wasn't medagdic in what he saw before, and he says he is Neman. But I'm saying it to show you the extent that there were those that treated them, those who suffered with the expulsion, and then there were those who stayed behind and ended up more comfortable. And you know, so there was a lot of strong resentment against them among the Sephardim. That's what the Shach is talking about.
Yeah,
yeah, so, but the chiddush is that we're looking at what he did there as tchilas bepaslos, like a guy. Even though now he's a from Yid, he's saying, I saw this with my own eyes, and now he has complete nemanis. We're calling it tchilas, not we, the Shach disagrees, but the Mary Shushan holds that it's... what? I don't know what year he was, but it's obviously a Sephardic name that the Shach is quoting. The Ramah and Kuf Chav Dalid, yeah, okay, the Ramah says if they can't run away because of Mamin, that Maga is not Maga Ovi Kechav. He doesn't say they have an Amanus. He just says the Maga is not Maga Yainas. That's the thing, that's Chayshim Mishpat. You would think Chayshim Mishpat, why would I be Chayshim? And still,
the...
That's the Ravusa. Yeah. That even though it's Cheshem Mishpat, he's just saying Reuven stole from Shimon or Reuven borrowed from Shimon. So why not? So that's the extent to which it went.
People who come from Russia.
The father people. Well, yeah. So it says here he's Nemara people's wine and. Yeah.
Rabbi, the people who come from Russia, they don't do avodah zarah, but they are not from. The same rules apply.
He doesn't know. There's no. The Frey Yid who becomes from could say, hey, this is what he saw as a Frey Yid. That's not called Tchilas in the past. Okay, so this is Sifyud Aleph and Sifyud Beis, the din of Anusim. It's very difficult today to know people who in the from community act from and out in the world act Frey, which is the real one. I mean, it's very nice, the Shulchan Aruch Nemzon, that the real one is the from one and the not real one is the other one. I just wonder. I hate to say it, but I just wonder some of them how far to trust them, because it seems among from people, you know, their family, they don't lose a family, they don't want to lose, so they act from, but when they go out, they act not from. It's a little hard, a little difficult, painful even to say that. I wonder how them when they are in kashrus. When they travel, they're not makbid on kashrus. In their house, when they're in Brooklyn, they're makbid on kashrus. So how much amanis do they have on kashrus? It's very, very hard to understand. It's all right.
In Yud Beis, okay. He mentions Shrita. In Yud Aleph, he does not mention Shrita. Is that Dafke or Lav Dafke?
I don't know. It's not very similar, but I don't know. Okay, we move to Yud Gimel, which is a totally different topic. Sif Yud Gimel is the topic of everybody's from, I mean, at least appears to be from, but the question here is a store that sold treifas als kosher. Now, it could be b'meiz, it could be b'shaygeg, this is a cheshem mishpat simen. The question is, if someone sold treif b'cheskas kosher, and now it's nizgala, what are the financial ramifications? Does he have to refund the money of the people to whom he sold treifas b'cheskas kasher? Now, obviously, cheshem mishpat doesn't depend on mezid and shaygeg, because if you chayev to pay, you chayev to pay. So we're going to learn the sif inside. Just it's a little confusing, so I want to just sort of lay the groundwork. We're going to have basically the following: if someone bought something and it turns out it's treif, and he still has it, there's no question in the world that he could return it. All the if this, if that, don't apply. If it's still in his possession, it was a mekatos, he bought it becheskes kosher, and now you can return it. Even if you buy something becheskes pariv, and you find out it's flesh, you can also return it. It's a mekatos, it was sold, it was presented as one thing, and there's no question, if you still have it, that you can return it. That's not the issue. The entire complication of this issue is where it was already consumed, it was already eaten. If somebody bought something, becheskes kashrus, and he, Rachman al-San, he ate it, it was really treif. So the question is, what financial rights does he have to get a refund for what he purchased? Now here, we will have a difference between Isurim Dairaises and Isurim Drabanans, which definitely needs a biur. What in the world does Mekartos have to do with whether it's an Isurim Drabanan or Isurim Dairaises? It's going to need a Hezber. So we're gonna learn the sif. But always, when you learn something like this, you have to just think about it for a minute and think about what's the pashtus. What would you say pashtus? Someone went to a store, and he bought, it could be he bought a steak, it could be he bought a container of soup or a drink, and he finds out afterwards, oops, it was treif. You know, we sell Snapple, and not every Snapple has a hechsher. Was it an okay? Some Snapple, some flavors don't have an okay. So that means they're vade treif, because otherwise they would have it. So he went to a store, bought a Snapple, and after he drank it, he looks at the label, and it's a treifer one. So now he goes back to the store. He says, hey, you sold me a treifer one. They say, oops, we're sorry. Give me your money back. So what do you mean you drank it? Why don't I give you your money back? So what do you say? What's the svara? Gets his money back. What? Mechatos, but he drank it. What are you going to do? Mechatos, the mechach is chayzer. But, what? So it was a mechatos, but you ended up drinking my Snapple. If I would still have it, I returned it to the store. Check, the store has an hechsher. The son of the store has an hechsher. Check it in the store. Okay. Now, not everyone's lucky enough to come here Sunday morning and find out that there's some Snapples that are in kosher. People assume they're all kosher. So maybe that's a good point. Now, obviously, Snapple doesn't have a difference in price, but a steak, maybe at least a difference in price, logically. At least then he should get back. Okay, so let's learn the sif. First, have clear what it says, and then we have to get into the why of it, because the whys of it are quite complicated. Sif Yud Gimel. There's no Ramah, it's straight Mechaber. Hamaychel l'chaveri dovish osa ba'achila. Someone sends somebody, to Isra Achila. Isra Hanoah, he deals with separately at the last line. So our discussion, for the most part, is about Isra Achila. Imad shaloi ochloi noida. If before he ate it, he finds out, that's easy. Yazalai mashakonim imenov, yazalai adamim. You're entitled to a full refund. He can't say, well, you bought a trefah steak, I'm sorry, I'll give you back half the money, and you bought a trefah steak. Because no, he didn't want to buy a trefah steak. The whole mekach is a mekatos, right? A mekatos is a mekatos because there's no gemiras das for the kinyan. It's not considered a kinyan, and it's chayzer. Snapple, why didn't he? Most people assume that all Snapple is kosher because every store they walk into in Flatbush, they're all kosher. Don't blame the storekeeper. Okay? I don't know. There are many people that would blame the storekeeper. You have a pizza store and it has a hechsher. Why are you selling tray for drinks? I assume everything in the store is kosher. All right, so let me put aside the Snapple example, because obviously Shulchan Aruch is not talking about things with labels on them. So you may be right. Okay. Back to Shulchan Aruch. Hamechel chaver davishasa b'achila. Imad shelo yachloi noida. If before he ate it, he found out, yazalei mashakonim imenu, v'yazalei adam. So like I said, that's easy. There's not even any commentary on this. It's a simple thing that you get your money back. So it sounds like a very simple sif. I will tell you that the groch of Zion is difficult. Because you can ask me, why, if you buy something and it's treif, you're allowed to return it. I'll tell you, mekatos. A simple reason. The groch, for some reason, of Zion gives a complicated reason. Nira hatam, de'enoi bar domim, de'osa lasi schaira. It's an institute of schaira with treifis. So he's not supposed to be selling it. So I don't really get it. Why is the Gross saying this?
Implying that otherwise he couldn't get his money back. No, but yes, he should get his money back.
Well, he's going on when you do get your money back. He's going on the first case. When it's not eaten, you do get your money back. It's implying that if you're allowed to do schayr with Tvar Masurim,
so you can sell it.
You don't get your money back.
No.
What?
Then you should go sell it.
You mean the one who bought it should go sell it? But he's not going to get the kosher price for it. He's not going to get the kosher price. I don't know. It's hard unless he means like Moshe was saying that if you're allowed to sell kosher and treif, so when you buy, you should have asked if it's kosher or treif. But it's still very difficult to understand because the Mechaber says that he sold it. You know, maybe it bothers the Groh. It says, it doesn't say he told him it's kosher. It just says he sold it to him. So since he's not supposed to do schar with treifis, so it's like he told him it's kosher. Although, if you have a pizza store and you sell it, what? Im actually noida, he found out that it's treif. So yazalei mashakonim imenu. Then you can return it. Certainly the purchaser thought it was kosher. And so the Gros saying, maybe why does he have a right to think it's kosher? Because he's not a schayer with treif, so he should have assumed it's kosher. I would think, because he's a from yid selling to a from yid, so of course it's kosher. Now I'll sell him treif. So it applies. We're going to have to talk. It's a good question. But once we get to stray, we'll have to talk about things that are muta mikar adin, but it's a toiv lahachmir type of item. Whether it applies. So we'll get to that separately. Lefever is a problem, and. By misayaya, where a person could buy it somewhere else, somebody has a supermarket and he said Jews are buying trefa products, so that's called misayaya de every aver. It's not lefneiva because he could buy it elsewhere. Well, assuming the person knows it's not kosher, obviously he can't sell not kosher and pretend it's kosher, but there's no iser to sell a mummer trefas even though you know he'll eat it. You're not allowed to give him a gift. You're not allowed to give him treifas as a gift, but in your store, it's mutter to sell him because there's no misayaya by a mummer, according to the Shach and the Gomer Vava. The Magen Avraham disagrees. What? Alright. What? Bar Domim doesn't mean it doesn't have value. It means it's not something you're supposed to sell. Any bar don, I think he means any bar mechira. It's not something you're supposed to sell. Yeah, it means the chesed. All right, I told you, the first halacha is simple, so let's not get bogged down. The gra needs a biur, but the first case is the easier case. Now, im misha achlai, he ate it already, Rahman al-Islam, he ate treifa food, noida, and he found out about it. So what's the halacha? So here, it depends. Masha'och halochal. But he ate. Can't bring it back. V'hu yachzolai hadamim. And he still gets a refund. Even though he ate it, he gets a refund. We'll have to ask why. Let's just finish. Im machrei halekech lai v'kechavim. If the purchaser sold it to a guy, a yishlichei l'klavim, and fed it to his dogs, yashlim lai d'mei treifa. So he had a benefit from it. So let's say kosher meat is $50 and trefa meat is $30. So he gives him the beni bay, gives him the $20 refund. So if the frumid ate the trefas, Rahman al-Islam, he gets a full refund. If he fed it to his dog, so he deducts the value that he got from it by feeding it to his dog, which is logical. But you're allowed to give it treifas, but it's not worth $50. For dog food, it's worth whatever, $30. V'im hoya dova she'enasa b'chil el medivrei seifrim, if it's an issa d'rabbanon, or yim hoyu apeiris kayamin, or the peiris are still around, mazir apeiris v'naitel damav, he means by a d'rabbanon also. V'im ochla masha ochalocha v'ena moicha mazal eklum. Now, so that's the question. So the question is, so again, by a deraisa, he gets every penny back. By a derabanan, he gets nothing back. So there are two kashas here. One is, why by deraisa does he get everything back? He ate it. And why by derabanan, he gets nothing back? The shach says, why does he get nothing back? He should at least get the difference in price. So let's talk about each one. We'll go one at a time. Why by a deraisa does he get nothing back? So look in the shach. What? By drabanan he gets nothing back. So the question is, why by deraisa he get nothing back? At least the price difference he should get. So let's start with the deraisa. Chof hei. The shach has a shita. Mashach alach yazla yadam mishum knas. Rashi bebechairis. He brings Rashi shita. That means Rashi holds my ikar adin, you shouldn't get money back. He ate it. So that's a good question. Okay, we'll come to that. But you shouldn't get everything back, okay? But Rashi says, mishum knas. That's Rashi shita. Shach says, anafgamina. Lefize mashma, dafke sheyadua, shaya yodeya shem devarim asurim. Mochram bemezid kansina lei. We can't say amazed. Halav hachilai, de'ef sheshaygeg haya. If you know he was a shaygeg, or even if Efshur Shegeg Haya, Timaitzi Mamina, Maisachvei Alvaraya. So therefore, the Shach says, Tzatz Knas, Nafkamina is a Shegeg. This is the sheet of the Shach. that this whole thing is because of a knas. And the male of you holds a knas, so by a derbaisa, so they counted you by a derbanana. Now the sheet of the shach is sheetas Rashi. However, a number of achrayim amatmi on the shach, the prichadash, the Aruch HaShulchan, they say that that's not the lashon of the other rishayim. The other rishayim, most prominently the Rambam, says that's mikra adin, that by a deraisa you get your money back. And the Sma in Choshev Mishpat brings the sheetas Rambam. And therefore, even though the Shah says Mishum Knas, it's not a double poshet that's because of Knas. Obviously, Hamesu Ve'el Varaya. So if you already sold it, Mishayeg, he could say Kimli, like the Shah, that it's Mishum Knas, and I'm Mishayeg, I'm Potter. On the other hand, if the person bought it on credit, so the buyer could say Kimli, like the Rambam, and I don't have to pay you for it. But at any rate, we have these two reasons, either Mishum Knas or because of the fact that it's not worth anything to him. The language that they bring in the Rambam is because a person, when he ate the steak, it was delicious, it tastes good. But afterwards, he's miyus from it, he's disgusted by it. The way Rav Shimon in the Shari Yosha writes, if you sell something that's poison, he gets sick from it. So when he eats the steak, it's delicious. But an hour later, he starts vomiting and he goes to the hospital. So he says, you say, what do you mean? When you ate the steak, it was delicious. Why do I have to give you a refund? So the answer to that is, I bought Eichlin from you. And it's not Eichlin, it's Sam. It tastes like Eichlin, but it's poison. So he says the same thing. If you sell someone an Isidereisa, you're pretending you're selling him a food. And the Torah says it's not a food, it's a poison. It's a sam. Nafkamina Rav Shimon says, if somebody cooks treifus on Yom Tif and eats it, Rechmano Litzlan, if somebody cooks something, he knows it's treif, he cooks it and eats it. So he says he gets malchus for cooking. I cooked eichel nefesh. So Rav Shimon says what the aside is that it's not eichel. It just looks like eichel, it smells like eichel. It's sama mavis. Someone would cook a piece of metal and drink the metal. So he's chayah for cooking. Cooking metal is also cooking. So he says chayah. That's how Reb Shimon explains. Now, whether you go to Reb Shimon's degree and say it doesn't have a Shem Eichel, but certainly it doesn't have a Shem Hanor. Somebody who ate the Frum Yid, Rachman al-Tzan, who ate Treifus, it doesn't have a Shem Eichel. And Mamela, by Nisa Dereisa, he's entitled to a full refund. So we have two biurim. Either Mishum Knas, like Rashi, or because it's not a Mechira Bechlau, which is the Shita Sarambam. See, Nafkamina is a Shaigeg, as I said. And
the second reason, the purchaser is
not Nafkamina
Kashas himself.
If what?
The buyer.
So that's a good point. I want to get to it later. But what happens is the purchaser is really not Makbidan Kashas. Now, I'm not putting kashrus anyway. But he's in Flatbush. Where's he going to get a frankfurter? So he went into a kosher store. He's going to go. He doesn't dafka go to treifa stores. He's not marked on kashrus. So, what, the knas should still apply? Yeah. But say he's not in the henna, it probably shouldn't apply. It's likely enough, Kamina. There's a base halevi in Parsha Shmais. A peladika base halevi. The Beis Halevi says that someone who's a Mechal Shabbos, and on Shabbos, he's Mechal Shabbos to save a Yid's life, he gets an Einish for the Malacha he did to save the Yid's life. It's because of the Farshis, he's Mechoyiv. So, but he didn't do it because of the Farshis, he'll do it anyway. He's Mechal Shabbos anyway. He would be driving, he drove to the hospital to save someone's life. If he wouldn't driven to the hospital, he would have driven to the golf course. So it's a Chavadik Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi says, you can't tie it to God and say, I was an Einus because of the Farshis. But God says to you, what kind of Einus were you? That's not an Einus. Rapam used to speak this out. It's a haflo also in Daf Gimel and Ksubis. Rapam used to speak this out about people who don't learn in their free time. He says, people, it's 25 hours to a day. So you tell the Rabbi Shalom, look, I have to sleep a few hours, I have to eat a few hours, I have to work a bunch of hours. you know, I got to talk to my wife. Well, listen to my wife for a couple hours a day. So, you know, how many hours a day can I be judged of any? 2-3 hours? So Baruch Hashem says, 1 minute. You're tithing, you're an oinus. I'm not learning the rest of the time. So let's see. If those 2-3 hours you learn, so you have a tithe. I'm an oinus. A human being has to sleep. But if you wouldn't be learning anyway, if I would have created you, you don't have to sleep. You wouldn't be learning anyway. So according to the Beis HaLevi, and then you don't have a taina and a flaw, you don't have a taina sinus because you wouldn't do it anyway. So that flaw and the Beis HaLevi have this, definitely, mechudsh tikashita, that you can't taina oinus if the oinus is not what caused it to happen. You would have done it anyway. Now, what about mechalas asuris? You say, I want my money back. It was a tray for frank. You tell the guy, what do you mean? You eat tray for franks all the day, all the time. So it's mustaber that the same thing should apply. If it's alts knas, probably the knas should still apply. But if it's alts, the reason of the Rambam, that a person is not in a henna from such an achila, so what kind of taina does he have that he's not in a henna from the achila?
Who said you define oichel on a halachic basis?
Reb Shimon Shkab. That's his style throughout. Reb Shimon has a pair of glasses. His glasses are totally Torah. When he looks at something, it looks like food, but the Torah says it's not food, it's not food. He does that all the time. A Safik Dairaisa, Reb Shimon says, Safik Dairaisa is a Vadei Yisr. What do you mean it's a Vadei Yisr? It's a Safik Yisr. No, the Torah says, Nali, the Safik Dairaisa. Safik Dairaisa, a Vadei Yisr. Reb Shimon does everything that way. Well, that's why we're calling it Reb Shimon. We're not calling it. Hey, you don't have to go. You don't need to go to Reb Shimon's extent. Reb Shimon makes it easy to understand. But even without Reb Shimon, a person, you tell him, look, you enjoyed the steak, you should pay for it. What do you mean I enjoyed it? I didn't enjoy it. The tray for steak. And forget about Reb Shimon for a minute. He's entitled to a refund because it's not what he wanted. What? He enjoyed it. Ara Chayzer. Yeah, he didn't enjoy it. He thought he enjoyed it. It's like if we give him a stomach ache. If it would be laced with poison. So you say he enjoyed it. But afterwards he started vomiting from it. You know, no one's going to say that he bought that he's entitled. We could clear. Okay. All right, now the really bigger chiddush is the second half, the derabbanan. So we established, I think we're comfortable with it. If you sell something that's treif, and you're entitled to a refund, even if you ate it already, I don't want to eat it, you fooled me into eating it, I'm entitled to a refund. I think we're comfortable with that. The second thing, much more difficult to understand. That you're not entitled to your money back, that is very, very difficult to understand. And when it says here in the Shulchan Aruch, "V'divrei seifim oyim hayu peiris," the Taz changes the girsa to "oz im hayu peiris kayam mazara peiris." Makes it easier to read. And look in Taz Yud Gimel. Why divrei seifim? You don't get your money back. Now listen to Svara. Beisa medivrei seifrim kivan sheochal chashvinan achilosai lahanosai v'leyazol layadamim. By a derabanan, you did have anah. When you did deraisa, it's called you didn't have anah. When you did derabanan, then you don't have a hanah. So Reb Shimon explains it. You're right. I'll explain it. Okay. What is Shimon going to say? It's still us, right? Okay. Now the Shach, of course, l'shitasai chashach ozayin starts off by saying, "Dafka bisa deraisa kansu." He holds the whole thing's a knas. He says kansu. Then he says va'id. He brings the svara like the Rambam. Ein achila saichel mechshav leihana adarab etzaru loy. Sarulai Shavar al Asir Dairaisa. By Dairaisa, he's bringing the second reason, the Rambam's reason, Avshay Yashayagay. Bashenki is in the Rabbanon. Akan Lashena Sma. He brings the Sma. And he says, he doesn't understand, why don't you pay the difference in price? So the Shach is Matchik to explain why you don't pay the difference in price. But all the achrayim besides the shach say, of course you paid it, you have to refund the difference in price. That's for sure. Why is the shach matchik that you don't give the difference? They all say you do give the difference, and again the prichadash, tarcha shulcha, but all the later achrayim say that you give the baini, and that's not really the issue. The issue is why you potter from a refund on the money itself. Now if it's a knas, like kansu, you know, so kabbal and the kabbal. But if we go to svara that I don't want to buy this, I mean, I would be furious if somebody chaser shalom told me this is drabanan. He tells me no, it was only basa'if b'chalav. Basa'if b'chalav is only drabanan. Yeshkayach, you know, it was only a milk and chicken soup. Yeshkayach, I don't want to eat the drabanan either. I don't get my money back. So there's a mechudish dik in the sivis. The sivis in Reish Lamed Aleph Gimel says a chiddush which is quoted widely and disputed. There are lists of those who are marzik, that what he says is 100% true, and lists of those that are matcha devara. His yisayid is the following. He says in Issed Rabbanan that a person is over b'shoigeg, you don't need a kapara. Deraisa is chefse shalisser. It's bad to misser. Treva, nevela is nevela. A person who eats a b'shoigeg, he always needs a kapara. He did an avla. But in Issed Rabbanan, the Rabbanan didn't make takonis for a shoigeg. The Rabbanan, the gzeira de Rabbanan was made for mezidim. If someone's a shoigeg and he eats something that's treif midrabanan, he doesn't need a kapara. And the way it's usually explained, it's not the lashon hashach, the way it's usually explained is that an issa deraisa is a cheftza shel isser. Nevela is nevela. Like Rav Shimon says, it's a shtick poison. It's not a shtick food. But why do you have to listen to rabbanans? You have to listen to the rabbanans because I saw some in Adava sheyegidu lecha. If they tell you something, you have to listen. Now, if they don't know that, if you don't know they told you, you're not ever on anything. You're not ever on anything. An example would be kiburav. Let's say your father says, don't eat this. Well, let's say it's kiburav, you're mechuyev. It's a question, but let's say you're mechuyev. If I don't eat it, a person eats it, he's over kiburav. If a person is sitting in Brooklyn, and his father is in Chicago, and his father says, I don't want my son to eat it, and the son doesn't know anything about it, and he eats it. Would anybody say that he was over on kibbutz b'shegeg? He didn't disobey his father. He doesn't know his father said it. The same thing by the Rabbanans. Rabbanan said, don't eat basa'if b'chalav. Rabbanan said, don't eat bishalakum. Rabbanan said it. If I disobey the Rabbanan, I'm over on the Rabbanan. It's a gavra. I'm disobeying them. But if I have good reason, halacha says, eidach adam b'surim. A from Yid gave it to me, and he said it's kosher. He said he knows it's kosher. And then the purchaser eats it. He doesn't need a kapara. He wasn't over on violating the command of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said, the same Rabbanan who said, don't eat bishalakum, said, eidach adam b'surim. So I trusted him. Later I found out he's a crook, and he sold me treifas. Or even by mistake, he sold me treifas. But later I found it was treif. A treif to Rabbanan, b'shoigeg, you don't need kapara for it. There's no avla in what you did. So maybe you don't get a refund. There's no tshuva, there's no avla. You have to do tshuva. He says, maybe you don't have to do tshuva for it. It's our kapara, he says. But you didn't lose anything from it. There was no loss. You got everything that you wanted from it. What? Excuse me? By the rest he does. Lamaisi he had a chefs of Sholei Surah. Yeah, he had a chefs of Sholei Surah. I don't know where to look up Hilchus Timtum Alei, but it would seem that there's not Timtum. He's supposed to keep track of what's going on, or to hang up a sign. It's your responsibility. You know, I go to some halls in some shuls. They have on the way down in the steps says, "We are not responsible for the kashrus." Like you're going down to a kiddush and a big sign with the shul is not responsible for the kashrus. Like you know, it takes away the appetite on the way down. But they're being honest. They can't follow up on everything. So you know. So why isn't it a Mekata? So I have to tell you that, like I said, the Pichadash and the Sameach and the Archa Shulchan, among others, say the Beni Beni has to pay. If he sold you a container of milk, and it was, let's say it was Cholavakum. Cholavakum is a dollar. And he sold you for $2, it's Chav Yisrael. The dollar, he has to give back. Now, Shas says that he doesn't have to, but all the Achreinim say, of course he has to give back. That's Be'etzem, he cheated you. Anytime a person raises a price and fools you. But we're talking about the Etzem money, what? Ein Masel Leklum. So they say it means on many products, which the same price, one way or the other, but the Beni Beni you have to give. If you understand that, so you have to go to Shach. I find it difficult to understand. I can't understand why the difference of price you shouldn't have to give back. Even if it's it had nothing to do with Kashrus, he just took a generic thing and labeled it as a brand name and charged you a higher price. Yeah, he has to refund the difference.
It's not like it depends on the...
All right, a sixth, a nine-a-sixth, maybe. So this is the klal of the Shach, that all Issadrabbanans is Issagavra, and not Issachefza. The Nesivus doesn't use the Lashon Gavra Chefza. He just says Ein Tzar Kapara. And this is the way it's always explained. And there are lines of Gedalim on both sides of it. The Sameach says that this Nesivus is Stira Tekama Gemaras. He brings, I think, one Gemara they ask him is in Chulin Davav, where it says Tzadikim. It's talking about eating demai, which is in a Siddur Rabbanan. Eating demai. So, what's the problem? It was b'shegeg. He didn't know. What's the problem? So they bring a raya from them. It's not really a shtaka raya, because demai, it might be in a Siddur Rabbanan, but it's an issa because we're afraid it's tevel. So the chash tevel is a deraisa. So maybe, you know, the mind might be different. But like I said, there are a number of Gemaras. I should mention that Fiyami passed a week or so ago. It's a Gemara in Daf Samach Zayin in Erevin. It says that by Enissa Dairaisa, if Rav is getting a psak, and his Taminim are sitting there, they have a kasha. It says, by Dairaisa, Mesvinin Tiyufta, Bahadur Avdina Novda. You're supposed to ask your kashas before you pass it. You let him paskin. The Talmud is sitting, he has a kasha on the psak. Now, if he thinks he's a Tayyibit of our Mishnah, he has to show him the Mishnah. But he has a Svara kasha. So the Gemara says, by the Rabbanan, let the Rav paskin, the Shayla leave, and then tell him you have a kasha. So the Nesiva says, why? He says, because what's going to go happen? He has the Paisik. The Paisik gave a psak. The person doesn't need a kapara, he relied on a psak. Now, Mesvinin Tiyufta, now you start to declare, was the psak correct or not correct? So he brings that as a raya that to his shita. Those who disagree say no, it's because you're probably wrong and the Paisik is probably right. But at any rate, this is his raya. There are lists of kashas on both sides. One of the strong kashas is if you see someone doing an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shaygeg, do you have to stop him? Or better yet, are you evil if they either? According to the Nesivus, I'm in a store, and I say, oh boy, I walked in late and the guy cooked this meat, it's Bishalakum. So I said, what am I going to do with it? I'll sell it to Goyim. Why are you going to sell it to Goyim? Sell it to Yidden. They don't need a kapara. What kapara they need? Huh? I'll sell it cheap. I'll sell it the price of, no? So this kasha is asked. It's also not a strong kasha, because the reason I'm not a seller to him is probably not because of him, but because of me. I'm not supposed to make it be eaten. But this is all part of the Shakla V'Tari. It's interesting in the Stechemed, Yamareches Ha'alef, by Isser, the Rabbanon, he has a long arichus where he disagrees with the Nesivus. He brings all those who are chaylik. In the Abiya Aimer, also in Chelek Aleph, in Yeridei Tshuva Yudalit, I think it's Ois Ches, and then it goes on forever, he defends the Nesivus. So you have two Svardic encyclopedic Gedolim who take two sides of it. So they're two sides of an Issa. I would rather Issa drop on a Zion, need a Kapora. It just makes me sleep better at night. But most of the Shailas and Kashas today are Drabonans, right? Bishalak, what is Shailas? What? So that's the ask. Why is it Lifnei Iver? If you give it to a yid, becheskas, Why is it lifnei? So the answer probably is it's not lifnei because I'm doing an avla to him. It's an issa because I'm not supposed to have a chelik in an avera, and I know it's an issa, and I'm causing it to be. Be that as it may, this is like the famous piece of this simon. The halacha remains. They're all arguing about how to paskin. The halacha remains. By nisa derais, that's a full refund. By nisa derabban and shulchan aruch says no refund. Most achrayim say the baini amount. You do have to refund. Just the last line of the sif. Chali surei hanoah. They tell out to him this is achilim. Surei hanoah. Fill him a divrei sefer maaser adamim. Ein by din mechira klal. We have in the yeshiva world. We always talk about the Rashba's chiddush that the Rashba says it's not shayich mechira ani surei hanoah. In order to own something, you have to own value. Now, if you ownership, it means that there's a value in something. It's valueless. The Rashba says you can't own it. It's not shayach bailus. That's why chametz is ena b'shusay shel adam. Ask us ilayim b'shusay. What does it mean? Chametz is not b'shusay. He bought the chametz 2 days before Pesach. Chametz not b'shusay. Rashba says because when chametz is worth zero, you can't own. You can't own something that has zero value. Yisurei hanoah, it's not shayach ownership. So they explain Yisurei hanoah. The Veseifrim, if it's worth zero, Maaser Adamim, Ein Boy Din Mechira Klal, not Shayach Mechira. Can I sell something that has value? You give over something value, has some value, but not something that has zero value. Okay, see if you dial in next week.